It's time for your morning pep talk. Here's Ruthie C. with the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. I need to laugh, and when the sun is out,
it's the Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And of course, our gardening expert, Mike Wiggins, here on News Radio.
How you doing, Davis?
Mike, I can't complain. I'm just hanging out in the studio getting to do the Pensacola Expert Panel. I was mentioning yesterday, I really do enjoy doing this show. I don't get to do it every day, so I think I enjoy it maybe that much more because it's like a little, you know, a little treat, something new to my week. Makes the week a little bit different, makes the day go by a lot faster.
I hear you. Well, you're good at it. You and I have done this before, many times, quite frankly, and it's always fun. Always fun. Because you've kind of got the little bit of the green thumb, Davis. You really do. And
we're talking about gardening?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Because I did put some weed killer on my weeds, on my flower bed, and they're dying out, which is great. I just need to get them all out of there now, and I want to remulch. I want to remulch and plant some flowers in there. Something about remulching a flower bed, first off, makes it smell nice. I like the smell of fresh mulch. I'm that weird person. But also, visually, to me, it has like a nice appeal. It's a clean bed.
There's no doubt about it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And we always tell people, you know, insofar as mulch is concerned, it really doesn't make any difference. Cypress mulch, pine bark, pine straw, as long as it's nice and clean and you have that line of division between this is lawn, this is bed, and kind of edge it real nicely. Oh, it'll make your whole bed, whole yard, your whole home look better. There's no doubt about it. So I'm glad you like that. I'm glad you like a little bit of therapy to get out, especially during the COVID days, and get out in the fresh air and work in the yard. A lot of people have done that. As a matter of fact, I think gardening, quite frankly, has been rediscovered by a lot of people during the COVID days. I mean, we all were kind of hemmed in, and this was a great idea to get outside and just do some things, just dig in the dirt a little bit. I think it helped us all, no doubt about it.
For me, I like gardening in the cooler weather.
Yeah,
no one likes. Well, unless you're that person, maybe you do, Mike. I personally don't care to garden when it's really hot outside, especially my house. The way it's angled, if you do it in the morning, you're fine because the shade is out. But if you do it 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun beams on my house. So I have to pick and choose when it is I were to go outside and do yard work.
Yeah, I'm not one for enjoying it that much when temperatures either in the high 40s, low 50s. I want it a little bit warmer than that. But I don't think anybody listening would really enjoy getting out 1 o'clock on an August hot day. And you've got to do it, like you say, in the morning or the afternoon when it's a little bit cooler. But the point is that it is still America's number one hobby. There's no question about it. But I think here on the Gulf Coast, number one, we have got some great people who garden. They many of them listen to our show, and we exchange ideas and thoughts and phone calls and texts, and it's just so much fun to talk to folks because people in Pensacola know how to do this, and they've embraced that hobby and are good at it, and they're trying new things and that type. And I that's one thing I wanted to start off talking about today is you've probably spent all that time in your yard during the COVID situation, and you may have said, okay, I don't like what I've done over here, and here's a new idea over here. It's time to plan. Here in the cold of January, it's time to plan. I even recommend go to your children's notebook and pull out some graph paper and draw it out. Draw out what you want it to look like. And of course, it may be a grand plan, or it may just be a small flower bed. It doesn't make any difference. What you want to do is to maybe redo, refresh, put something new in there. And as you do your drawing and your planning, you say, wait a minute, you know, this, start when I put a pencil to it, this might be a little expensive. But just do a little bit at a time. Just spend the entire spring and summer kind of building up that landscape. And before long, It's going to look really, really good. And the value of your home has been proven that the value of your home is more if you have nice landscaping, especially the curb appeal. If you just have a really nice home in suburbia and all you've got is a few boxwoods lined up in front of it, it's not going to be worth quite as much as if you have a nice, well-planned landscape with shrubs that fit the area, the right plant in the right place. And so that's important, in my opinion.
So, Mike, we actually have a special treat this morning. Joining us right now on the program is our very own Mark Jacobs. It appears he has a question to ask you, the gardening expert.
Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm doing terrific. Special guest of the Garden Line. Wow, this is great stuff.
That's great.
Oh, you made my day.
My yard.
Yes, sir.
It's been brown all winter.
Sure.
Starting to get a few little things growing up in it that I really don't want to have there.
Right.
What's the best thing I can be doing for my yard right now to keep the weeds out and make sure it's ready to go once the warmer weather gets here and it's starting to green up?
Oh, that's a great question. If I had asked you, say, Mark, ask me this question, that's the one I would have said.
I'm looking at it right now, but, and of course, it you know.
Yeah,
it is.
It's winter, and it's dormant, and it's just no fun. No, here's what I would do. And there's some things I would not do. One, don't scalp that lawn right now. I mean, you may be say, I'm going to go out, it's kind of scraggly, I'm going to get that lawnmower, and I'm going to take it way down. Don't do it. Leave that lawnmower at the exact same height you mow it in the midsummer. But then here's on your calendar what you need to do. Middle of February, about 30 days from now, maybe a little bit more, you want to put your pre-emergence weed control. Now, you can do it granular with a product like Dimension, or you can spray it with a liquid like atrazine. Either way, what you're trying to do is to inhibit those spring and summer weeds from coming up. What you don't want to do, and we preach this sermon on the Garden Line a lot, is use a weed and feed fertilizer. Now, you want to get that weed control down, that pre-emergence weed control. And, of course, you go to any garden center, they've got stacks and stacks of weed and feed, which has the pre-emergence in it, but also has a fertilizer.
Right.
But that fertilizer is exactly the wrong fertilizer to use the middle of February. Okay. So do your weed control by itself. Either spray it or put it out as a granular. And then use your 1608 fertilizer. Use that in probably late April, mid-April, depending on how springtime, if it comes on early, you could do it then. But let's say mid-April, put that out, that regular fertilizer with no weed killer in it, just the fertilizer.
Okay.
That's the best thing you can do. Also, Mark, what I have found in the last couple, 3 weeks, it's been very dry.
Mm-hmm.
It really has. I would be tempted, if this rain doesn't come that they're talking about having, I think it's on Friday, I'd be tempted to go out and run my sprinkler for about 30 or 45 minutes. You don't need to do it every day. You don't need to do it every week. But if we get into this little stretch, as we always do, of dry weather, in our area of the country, the roots of that grass are still growing.
Right.
So you don't want it to all just totally dry out. So I would be tempted to do it. That's what I'm going to do. If we don't get this rain, I think they're saying 50 or 60% on Friday, then I'm going to get my sprinkler system going. And so that's what I would do.
Okay.
And that's not the best you can do. Now, it's a little frustrating. Here we are in January moving into February because the yard just looks horrible.
Right.
I mean, it's dormant. And, you know, as you say, there are a few winter weeds still there. And
do I need to do anything about those weeds that are already growing?
No. But Mark, that's another great question. A lot of people do, especially as we get into late spring and early summer, is use a different type of weed killer, a post-emergent, one that kills the weeds that are there, the one that are right in your yard today. But if you start spraying that post-emergence weed killer on a dormant lawn, you can do damage.
Oh, okay.
So you kind of got to live with it until you get that pre-emergence weed killer down, and then get the fertilizer down, and then continue to mow it high. Continue to watch your water, and you should be in good shape.
Okay.
Thanks for the question.
Thank you.
Okay, that's great. So I'm going to leave you and Davis with it. I'm going to go home now. You and Mark can handle this show.
Oh, but you're the expert. I always have my questions, and Mark, good to have him joining the program. Probably a question many people are having themselves as their lawns are going to soon, still pretty chilly out there, but soon return back to its green, luscious self. There's still those weeds that are there.
That's right.
There's pesky weeds.
Oh, they are pesky, but that's the approach that I would take with it.
Hey, we do have a quick question, and it comes from our listener about their rose bed. Now, I'm going to make sure I get this question right. My screen went away from me here. All right, good morning, and brr, so certainly feeling the cold. Please remind us when to prune our roses. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Oh, that's a great question also. One day, well, I shouldn't say one day. We could do it in February, but Valentine's Day, of course, is our day on the calendar when we say this is a great day to prune our roses. And insofar as pruning roses is concerned, I want to, before the middle of February, on here on the garden line, Davis, I want to talk a little bit more in detail about that. But there's some real tricks is the wrong word, some real methods to pruning roses. And we could talk about it here on the garden line, and like I say, I plan to do that as we get closer to that date. But just kind of Google how to prune roses, and you will get a PhD in pruning, because there's a lot to know, some real details about the right way to prune roses. And many roses need to be pruned different. You prune climbing roses different than you do tea roses, different than you may want to do knockout roses. So, but the middle of February is a great time to do it.
All right. Well, perfect. And a reminder, if you want to call or text in 437-1620, that is the phone number. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, let's go ahead and dive into more gardening questions and cleaning up our garden during
Sounds
this
good.
Time.
Sounds good.
Right here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Does he love me? I want to know. How can I tell if he love me so? Is it in his eyes? Oh, no, you'll be deceived. Is it in his eyes? Oh, no,
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It's the Garden Line with gardening expert Mike Wiggins. I'm Davis Allen, hanging out in the studio today, hosting the Pensacola Expert Panel. I'll be doing it all week, actually. So,
great.
It'll be fun.
Great. It's good to have you here, Davis. It really is.
Happy to have
you. I enjoy doing it with you. You are the total pro at doing this.
Thank you, Mike.
And I really appreciate it.
You know, we actually already have another question in.
Oh, great.
I figured we'd go ahead and dive into this one.
So,
this is something I believe all of us have said a few times before, but even I have this question. What exactly does it mean to root a plant?
To root a plant?
Yes.
Well, let me give you an example. Say you have I'm going to use a coleo, for example. You can take a cutting off a coleo that's got at least some foliage on it, a couple of leaves. If you dip it into a product called root tone, which is a hormone which helps the roots develop, and stick it into a very light potting soil, one that has some perlite in it, for example, a very light one. You don't want to put it in a mucky potting soil. It will root. You will have a new plant. And so that's the way to do it. And a lot of the your growers, it will do these, what I call woody cuttings, for example, boxwoods and all of that. It's not that easy to do those, but they've got it down to a science. But it's really just taking a portion of a plant and propagating it and making it more plants. One of the talking about propagating is interesting is some of your camellia. Next time we have our camellia boys on here, Buzz and Skip, we'll talk about propagating camellias. That's where you do, you take a root and you put a little cut in it with a, I'm going to say with a sharp knife or an axe, and then you put your cutting off the plant you want to root into that. And so it has a different root system than it does a top. And that's how you propagate camellias. It's how roses, for example, do not have the same root system as the top plant. They've been rooted. They have been propagated. And that's why you have, when you buy a rose, you'll notice a little right at the soil level, you have it looks like a little golf ball size. It's called the bud union. That's where it's been grafted in there. And so there are many ways to propagate plants, but to root a plant, that's how you do it.
Oh, perfect.
It's kind of cool. Kind of fun to do. It's some people really, really enjoy that. I mean, you can go out and buy coleus and and annuals and that type of thing. But a lot of people like to kind of root their own and grow their own. What you need, of course, to do that, in my opinion, is if you had a small hobby greenhouse, for example, that's going to help you because you're going to be able to keep your temperatures where they belong, and it's going to help you root your plants and have them grow on. You can't just do some of these outside because obviously it's too cold. So that's kind of rooting a plant.
You know, you started mentioning camellias and the texture. Another separate texture said, you just answered my question regarding camellias.
Yeah, well, and camellia, you know, camellias have seeds, of course. You can plant a camellia seed. You don't know what you're going to get. You don't know what you're going to get. And so I think a lot of the camellia guys are listening. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but if you plant a camellia seed and it comes up and you have a bloom on it, which you don't know what you're going to get because it comes from a seed, and you like it, then you can go ahead and graft that particular stem, if you will, off your camellia and have that particular plant as that bloom on a plant by itself. Anyway, that's the way I understand it's done.
We had a follow-up text message, the one who was wondering about the camellias. They are asking, do you scrape the putter layer and then followed it up with, like, the Cambrian layer?
Yes, absolutely. What he's saying is, it's kind of a woody plant, and so you would scrape it till you get down to the green. Absolutely, that's a good question. Yes.
Some good questions coming into the Garden Line today.
Yeah, that's some expert. I need to get the camellia guys back in here.
It's a busy day on the show.
Well, I'm glad.
And it looks like we have a call coming in here, and we'll get to that caller here in just one moment. We'll take another timeout. You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins. I'm Davis Allen, hanging out in the studio today for News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. We have David on the line, joining the Garden Line. David, welcome to the program. What's your question today?
Thank you. I've got a question here about a dogwood tree.
Yes, sir.
I have an old dogwood tree. By that, I mean it's like at least 40 years old. It's a white dogwood, and they're very rare around here now. I guess the dogwoods have all been mostly killed off by some kind of disease.
And that is correct. But, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's my question. Hurricane Sally came along about 3.5 months ago.
Yes, I remember
It knocked down, broke two of the lower limbs. Those limbs fell down on the ground and, like, cracked again because it hit the ground. And they're, like, laying on the ground. So I'm thinking now, it's not totally broken from the tree. It's still, both of them are still attached to the tree. So I took dirt, like maybe 3-4 gallons of dirt, and put on top of the part on the ground, covered it up, totally covered it up. It's covered in my, 6 inches deep of sod from a regular sod I went and bought. But anyway, how long can I let those lie there? Because what's happening, coming out the opposite side of the pile of dirt, the limb is still growing.
Right.
So I'm thinking, is it forming roots up underneath that, 10-inch deep pile of dirt?
You know what? Mother Nature is really interesting. It may. But quite frankly, I would say because the bark has split and the limbs are on the ground, I would be tempted to do one of two things. Just for fun, let it go and see what happens. It might, grow those roots. But I'm going to wager that it probably isn't going to work, and you're just going to have to cut off those particular limbs and enjoy the rest of the tree. That would be my take without looking at it, but it's fun to try. Give it a shot. See what happens.
Good morning, everybody. This is The Garden Line. with Mike Wiggins. I'm Davis Allen, hanging out in studio for the week, doing the Pensacola Expert Panel, something I really enjoy doing. Mark and Mike, I certainly know you and I have done a lot of radio together. It's always a good day whenever we can do radio together.
It's always fun. It's always fun, and I appreciate it. Just a couple things, Davis. Just a few things, just kind of housekeeping things here. One, we talked about this last week, but I want to say it again because it's very important. If you have ryegrass in your yard, one, you obviously have to mow it. That was a decision that you made when you put it out. You knew you would. Be sure that blade is sharp. It can be a real problem trying to mow ryegrass with a dull blade on your lawnmower. So sharpen it up if you have ryegrass and if you're mowing your lawn. Watering, you may have to water your yard. Like we were talking to Mark earlier, this time of year, there's not a lot of yard watering going on unless we get into a stretch of dry weather. Your ryegrass may need a little bit more than St. Augustine or Centipede or Zoysia lawn. So pay attention to that. And, quite frankly, a little light dose of that same 1608 fertilizer we talked about. I'm going to say maybe 2 to 3 pounds per 1,000 square feet. Doesn't have to be much. Just a little kick on that ryegrass, and boy, it'll really make it go. So ryegrass is great. If you don't mind the mowing, it's really makes your yard look good. And the ryegrass around town right now is just gorgeous. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Okay, next thing I wanted to mention, Davis, is pruning shrubs. I had a phone call the other day saying I watch you on the Garden Line, which I always appreciate that. Can I go out there and prune my basic shrubs now, my boxwood, my clara, japonica, my ligustrum? Can I do it right now? No, it's not the best time to do it. And here's the reason why. If you go out, let's just say you've got a boxwood hedge in front of some windows and you give it a good heavy pruning here in January. Well, we all know in Pensacola, as a matter of fact, later this week, we may be in the 70s. And we hit in those 70s, and if it's a prolonged period of warmer weather, it'll think it's spring. The plants will, and it'll start putting on new growth. And then, in February or March, we zip down into the 20s again. It can really damage that new growth and just kind of damage the whole health of the plant. So even though on these warm days like we're going to have the end of the week in the 70s, you want to get out and just whack away at these plants, there's some cold damage, some damage from the heat last year. You want to prune them up, make them look good. Kind of hold back. Do the best you can to hold back and not do that. Unless, and there's a big unless here, unless you want to do your pruning on your deciduous trees, trees that lose their leaves, just like David called us a minute ago about his dogwood. Yeah, this is a great time to do that. Dead limbs, crossing limbs. You may want to prune up your deciduous trees so more sun gets in, which will help with the health of the grass underneath it. So you pruning your deciduous trees are good. There's one hint, and this is kind of hard to say on the radio. I kind of wish I had a picture. But when a limb comes off a main trunk, the limb comes off and through a collar. So it's kind of a growth around that limb as it goes into the main trunk of the tree. If you're pruning a deciduous tree, don't go all the way back into that collar right next to the main trunk. And don't leave a big stub out either, way outside the collar. Because what that will do in both cases, that will inhibit that cutting that you're doing from sealing over. Way back in the day, we used to sell gallons and gallons of this tar. It was called sealer. And people would put that tar on those cuts where they would cut off the big limbs, Davis. And we found out later through research, and the state did, that, hey, it's wasted money. Just don't do it. It'll seal by itself, but you've got to cut it correctly if you're cutting a limb off a tree. So it's kind of hard to explain without a picture, but I think everybody gets what I'm saying.
You know, we actually had a text message just come in a moment ago, and I'm going to read it. I think you'll understand what I'm saying. I'll read a little slower, but if you root a plant from cutting like the begonia, don't you replicate the parent plant's DNA?
Yes. 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 That's a way of being sure. Remember we talked about planting seeds?
Mm-hmm.
You plant seeds off of a plant. You don't really know what you're going to get. But if you do a root cutting off a coleo or a begonia or whatever, yes, that plant that you rooted is going to be true to the plant cutting and true to the plant that you cut it off of. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, perfect.
So I think the answer to the question is yes, it's going to be true to variety, yes.
And just a quick reminder that if you do want to be a part of the program, call or text 437-1620. Again, that number, 437-1620, with all your gardening questions.
Absolutely. And Davis, just a couple of things I want to mention also. A lot of us, including myself, just in the last couple of days have started to remove some of the covering we put on our plants from protecting it from the cold. And be sure, if you're like me, you almost forgot, you need to go ahead with these warmer temperatures coming this week, go ahead and take those coverings off, water that plant real good, and but stand by. I have this croton I really, really like. It's just been perfect this year. So I've put a couple of protections on those, but I took them off and just stacked them right next to it because probably by next week we'll be back down into the 30s and we'll have to do it again. But for now, take everything off, especially if it's plastic, because as we've all said on the Garden Spot many times, that plastic will kind of create a greenhouse effect in that plant and burn it up. So take all that off now and let that plant, just like the rest of us, get some good, fresh, warmer air as we get into the latter part of the week.
You know, we just received another message in here. I'm wondering if it's going back to the begonia question or maybe what you're talking about right now, but they're asking about and let me actually read the text and now I'll actually understand what the listener is asking. They want to know what cross-pollination is.
I think cross-pollination, I'm trying to think of a good example of that. I have never done any cross-pollination, to be quite honest with you. This is one I will defer to our county agent, to Carol Lord as the county agent, because I have never really done any cross-pollination, and I would defer that to her.
Okay.
But it's another way. It's another way to propagate plants. And, I mean, like I said, there's many ways, but that's another one. Air layering is another way. We didn't even talk about that. That's another way to do it, which is another long explanation we'll get into another time. But there are many ways to propagate plants, and cross-pollination is another one. But I don't think I'm your man to give you any details on cross-pollination.
We do have a call on the line, and just like you, Mike, his name's also Mike. Mike out of Gulf Breeze. Welcome to the program. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Quick question. I bought a house in Gulf Breeze last year, and it's got a palm tree, and I'm pretty sure it's a sable palm. And I've never had a palm tree in my yard before. I'm very happy to have one. But Sally beat it up pretty bad, and now it's looking pretty sad. And I don't know what steps I need to take right now. Do I need to prune some of it, or maybe a quick 101 on how to take care of a sable palm?
Okay, it's a sable palm, not a sago, correct? Tall growing palm.
You know, it's probably about 25 feet tall.
Yeah, yeah. And the foliage, you've got some green foliage, some brown foliage, I'm assuming.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me, I think I would go by the philosophy we talked about earlier, where even though the temptation is there to get up and prune all that brown off, I think I would wait till I got, let's just earmark it March 1st. Do it then when we're out of the chance of a real hard freeze. That's kind of what I know. March can be tough, but and even delay it more if you can, because the same principle. Okay. I don't want to get up there and start pruning a bunch and new growth, and then we have a, you know, really, really get cold. I wouldn't do that. But here's a couple things to do insofar as taking care of that sable palm. I have had a lot of customers over the years that have used plant stakes. Okay, you know what a plant stake is? Kind of solid fertilizer, maybe 5 to 6 inches, that you hammer in the soil next to a plant.
Right.
And they make them just for palm trees. But if you don't find one just for palm trees, Mike, the secret ingredient is magnesium sulfate. That's what really will help the palm tree, especially with the greening of a palm tree. Now, if you don't get the plant stakes, which can be rather pricey. What you could always do is dig some holes around the drip line and put some palm fertilizer in the holes and cover them back up. That would work just the same. But the point is, use fertilizer, be it plant stakes or just a granular fertilizer that has magnesium sulfate in it. You're going to need your nitrogen also, phosphate and potash, but the minor element that you're interested in is magnesium sulfate. So if you do that, if you fertilize it and do that pruning in the spring, I think you're going to be fine.
Hey, I appreciate it. I listen to the show every week.
I really appreciate it. Congratulations on your new home. I know in Gulf Breeze you don't have any dollar weed in your lawn, do you?
Oh, Lord, yeah. It's dollar weed is the new cover, it looks like.
Or let me tell you, I've always said if you live in Gulf Breeze and if you could eat dollar weed in Gulf Breeze, you could feed the third world.
Because
dollar weed is so prevalent. But for that dollar weed, get that weed, that pre-emergence on in mid-February. And then you can use some things like Trimec and products like that in the early spring, late spring, to take care of that dollar weed.
Don't worry about anything right now?
I wouldn't do it, no. I really wouldn't do it. Once in a while, obviously, in Gulf Breeze, you're just like the rest of us. You don't have any soil. You've got sand. So be careful if we do get a stretch of dry weather. And if you do that, do a little watering. Get that pre-emergence on February 15th. The fertilizer on as you get later on in the spring. And maybe use some more weed killer as we get into April and May to kill the weeds that have escaped the pre-emergence. Or if we still have warmer weather, it'd still probably be dollar weeds are still there now. But you could use that. Yeah. I would say April, May. Then when we get too hot in June, then you probably have to kind of put a lot of it on the shelf. But that's kind of the stages I would go through.
Got it. Hey, I really appreciate it.
Man, we appreciate you listening, Mike. We really do.
Thanks, Mike. As always, we appreciate it when our listeners call in. And also, we love it when we text in as well. And we actually have a couple of text messages that we're going to get to after we take this break. You're listening to The Garden Line with Mike Wiggins on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Good morning, it's The Garden Line on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And I had teased that we had a couple of questions through our text line. And just a reminder, you can call or text that same number at 437-1620. Should I bring my plumeria plants out from when the temps warm up in January and February, or should I wait until the spring?
I would wait, and here's the reason I would say wait. Plants don't like big variances in temperature and light. In other words, you go from a plant in your dark den and you put it out in the sun in January, then you take it back, and they don't like those changes. They really don't. Same thing with water. You don't want to put so much water, leave something so much water, and then stop it. You need to be very consistent. So the light needs to be consistent. The temperatures need to be consistent. So as we get into the spring, I would even consider moving it outside kind of gradually. Maybe once the temperatures are such that it's not going to freeze anymore, go ahead and take it outside, put it underneath the patio, then put it where you're going to the final destination. But plants don't like those big changes in temperature, light, and water.
Follow up now. Next one's going to be discussing citrus plants, citrus limbs. Can I cut dead citrus limbs now?
I would think you could probably get away with it, but I wouldn't do it. I really think, just like we've talked about on the show a lot today, is to keep those pruners away from anything but a deciduous plant. A deciduous tree, if you will. I think I would wait. And once again, I know it's frustrating because it looks so bad and you want to clean it up, but I think if you go by the book, I think I would wait. However, you might get by with it if we don't have real warm weather, then real, real cold weather. But, I would be cautious and wait.
I mentioned, it was the last time I did The Garden Line with you, I have elephant ears in my backyard, and I was getting some work done back there, and the workers that were back there were not too cautious around them, and they sort of trampled them. believe it or not, even with the cold weather, they've made a complete comeback.
Oh, they will. They're wonderful. It's a great plant. Absolutely. A lot of people, including myself, had major problems with our elephant ears during Hurricane Sally. It shredded the leaves, the elephant ear leaves, which, I mean, it's just horrible. And I think probably if you go by the books, you should have just left them alone. But I kind of clipped off those shredded ones. And you're right, Davis, that plant just came right back and then got hit with the cold again. So I'm just going to leave it alone for a while till we get probably into March. Then we're going to kind of cut it back, and they'll come back. They can be trampled, and they'll still come back. And it's a great plant to give you a tropical look. And I think I've mentioned, I take that another step further, you've got different types of elephant ears. The traditional kind that kind of droop over a little bit. But I ordered from a guy in South Florida one that it grows kind of straight up. The leaf itself is kind of sitting up there just kind of straight. And, boy, has it been pretty. Just healthy and pretty. And I'm looking forward to the spring. Once they start growing what they look like this year, they're going to look even better next year. They're just going to be bigger because that bulb gets bigger and bigger.
And you know, the power of bumper music, you and I love to play our bumper music here, and it's mainly 60s themed.
Oh, it's great stuff, too.
I played that Beatles song, Blackbird. The texter said, that song has been in my head all morning. Thank you for playing.
Exactly. I've always thought we were going to do the best of the Garden Line music produced by Davis Allen. I think we've got a big seller on our hands there, Davis.
If you ever need to create a perfect bumper music album, I'll be happy to put that together for you.
Okay, well, that is great.
I've actually been recruited by a couple of people here to put together playlists.
Exactly.
So it's pretty fun.
It is fun. And so keep it coming, because that's one thing. I don't want to take it for granted what Davis does with our bumper music, because I've always said, Davis, you know, I'm at my age, I love that 60s stuff, and he always finds the right one.
And I actually found a very, very good playlist called Smooth 60s.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So you're getting all these nice songs this morning on this Tuesday Garden Line morning.
We didn't play any Sly and the Family Stone today. I noticed that.
We have one more segment.
Hot Fun in the Summertime.
Maybe we'll find something.
That's we always play in the summer.
Maybe in the summertime.
That's right.
The cold time and the dreary blues. I don't know. Well, it's still a little chilly outside. It's supposed to get better though today.
Oh, it is. You're going to hit 70 by the end of the week, which is going to be great.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take one more time
out. Let's do it.
Maybe we can squeeze in one Sly and the Family Stone song on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mike managed
there
to squeeze in one.
There's old Sly singing.
Some Sly.
Good
I love
Davis.
This song.
I do too. They're a great group. They went through some hard times, I think, after they were a hit, but they sure left some great music, no doubt about it. Well, Davis, I want to go back to a question I wasn't much help on, is that cross pollination. I was going to recommend, I did recommend that the caller, the person who texts us, call Carol Lloyd at the Escambia County Extension Service. Good idea. But also, if you have some friends who grow daylilies or know somebody in the Daylily Society, I think you may find some experts on cross-pollination there. So just a hint to learn more about it. And maybe we'll bring some tips next week on that.
I'm looking forward to it, Mike.
It'll be fun.
And I think I'll be with you even then. So we'll
Great.
Do it again.
I look forward to that. Good. We'll play our best hits of Davis Allen.
Winning with Anna Lee up next.